Church family, if you and I want proof that people need encouragement, we should really look no further than the Bible. And the person that I'm thinking of today was that young pastor in the New Testament that we call Timothy. You see, Timothy was indeed a young pastor. We find in the New Testament that he was scared, he was frustrated, he was timid. He suffered from physical ailments. He was prone to letting others take advantage of him in ministry. It was common for him not to assert his authority as a pastor because of his inexperience. And we find in Scripture that Timothy, because of all of these things, he was fading. He was shedding tears over the problems that were coming to him in ministry. And it's in that period or moment of depression and discouragement that this broken young man receives these encouraging words from the Apostle Paul. I'm going to read this today from the Message translation, and my encouragement to you is just look at the screens together with me. Here's what young, broken Timothy receives. Paul writes, "Every time I say your name in prayer, which is practically all the time, I thank God for you. I miss you a lot, especially when I remember that last tearful goodbye, and I look forward to a joy-packed reunion. That precious memory triggers another, your honest faith, and what a rich faith it is, handed down from your grandmother Lois to your mother Eunice, and now to you. And the special gift of ministry you received when I laid hands on you and prayed, Timothy, keep that ablaze. God doesn't want us to be shy with his gifts, but bold and loving and sensible. So don't be embarrassed to speak up for your master or for me. Take your share of sufferings for the Lord along with the rest of us. We can only keep on going by the power of God. So keep at your work, this faith and love rooted in Christ exactly as I set it out for you. It's as sound as the day you first heard it from me. Guard this precious thing placed in your custody by the Holy Spirit who works in us." When I hear those words written by the Apostle Paul to young, intimidated Timothy, I just say, wow. Warm words, right? Incredibly warm words. I'll bet they felt like a warm blanket to Timothy. A warm blanket in a drafty old house. That's how it felt to his heart. I'll bet these words were like a job offer in the midst of a recession. I would imagine these words were like a vaccine in the midst of a pandemic. You see, Timothy needed encouragement. And you know what? He's just like you. He's just like all of us. Because the truth is that all of us need encouragement. Everybody needs someone in their corner encouraging them to get up and get after it again. This morning, we're going to continue in this brief little sermon journey that we've been on. It's titled Finding Strength. And you say, Pastor, I didn't even know we were in a sermon journey. And the truth is, the last two sermons in this series, this is the last one, but the first two were preached online. We had the unfortunate incident of having our staff exposed to COVID-19, and I would guarantee you that everybody's feeling fine, everybody's tested. Steve is on the way to recovery at home in his quarantine. But this place you're sitting in today, we have disinfected and sterilized everything multiple times. I think it's the cleanest place in Navarro County today. So I'm glad that you're back home. And I'm glad that we get to pick this series up. The title of the series is Finding Strength. And really the series has been about one thing. It's been about the subject of encouragement. Now let me tell you where we've been so far, and I'll bring us all up to speed. So far we've talked about the when of encouragement. We've talked about, in week number two, the who of encouragement. But today I want to talk about the how of encouragement. Let me tell you what we've learned. When we talked about the when of encouragement, we talked about that we need encouragement when we begin, when we finish, and every single step along the journey. And then we began to ask the question, well, if we need encouragement at all times of our life, then how are we going to get it, right? Or who is it going to come from? Where is it going to come from? The answer was the Holy Spirit. And last Sunday, that was our focus, talking about the Holy Spirit. And let me just toss this in, friends. The Baptist Church needs to talk more and more about the Holy Spirit of God. And so we talked about the Spirit. We talked about how He can encourage us through His person, in His presence, in our praying, and with His peace. So today, I want to move to a new question. Not the when of encouragement, when we need it. Not the who of the encouragement from the Holy Spirit, but now I want to talk about the how. How does encouragement come to us? Yes, it comes from the Holy Spirit, but how does it come? Well, I want to look at several ways today. The Holy Spirit gives courage to you and me. After all, that's what encouragement is, right? It's when we're offered courage and the Holy Spirit has it for us. And here's the way we're going to begin. Get ready for a little Bible drill, by the way. We're going to hop through various passages of Scripture. Here's the first way the Holy Spirit encourages us. He encourages us through a personal friend. Take your Bibles and go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 23, beginning in verse 15. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 15. Now, this is a passage that I referenced two Sundays ago in the first sermon in this little series, but we come back to it again today because I want to talk about these intimate best friends, David and Jonathan. We're going to pick up the story midstream today in verse number 15. It says, while David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. He helped him find strength in God. They were the best of friends. How many of you have ever had a best friend? I pray you have one right now. But best friends, good friends, personal friends are crucial. You see, in this context, Jonathan's words were that when David received Jonathan's words, David was on the run. Saul was pursuing David, trying to kill him. David is running for his life, and the text says he's moving from place to place, staying in the desert strongholds. Translation, he's hiding out in caves. He's getting in the very back of the cave, according to the text, so Saul can't even find him there. And then Jonathan comes, and he says, David, don't be afraid. Now here's my question for us. Did those words of encouragement come from Jonathan, or did they come from God? The answer I submit to you today is they came from God. You see, God is the author of encouragement. God's the one who encourages through personal friends. God's the one who calls out people to come to you and me to give us the courage, the encouragement that we need. One author said it this way, God always signs His letters of encouragement. They're never anonymous. How many of you have ever received an anonymous letter of encouragement? It probably has happened. But God always signs His letters. You see, God always sends His encouragement through other people. In my office, I'm going to tell you something that I do. I'm not a hoarder, but I do like to keep certain things. And one of the things that I've kept throughout my whole ministry is if anyone has ever written me a letter of encouragement, then it goes in the box. So some of you have written me letters, and they're in my office today. Well, this week, I went to some of my boxes, and there's several now, and I pulled out some of these old letters of encouragement. And I want you to hear what some people have written to me. I am not deserving of these comments, but I want you to hear. You talk about build somebody's spirit. One person wrote, Danny, you epitomize for me what a leader of Christians is supposed to be. Another person said, I can't help but being proud of you. You do so many things well. Another said, you have a definite sense of purpose for yourself and our church. Somebody else wrote to me, God has put you in our family for a very special reason. Folks, I'm not worthy of any of that. But you know what that does for me? It's a firm reminder that the Holy Spirit sends powerful encouragement all the days of our lives. And when I received those words, I needed those words. And when I read them again this week, I still needed them. You see, God sends us encouragement through personal, powerful people and friends. Amen? Today I'm praying. And I've been praying that God would send you a friend to encourage you. How else does the Holy Spirit encourage us? Through our personal friends, yes. But second, let's add to it this. The Holy Spirit also encourages us through God's Word. This week, we have mourned the passing, or at least celebrated the going home of our sister in Christ, Sue Nyquist, and I had the chance to sit at the dining room table with Dave and David Nyquist. And David said to me, he said, "What should we do, Danny?" And I said, "You got to get into God's Word." And here's the reason. Turn with me to Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 is a dynamic reminder as to what God does for us in His Word. Romans 15, verse 4 says this, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." The encouragement from where? From the Scripture. Friend, it's through the Scripture that God gives hope. You see, God's Word has always been hope for the hopeless. God's Word has always been courage for the discouraged. It's always been fruit for the fruitless, possibilities for the desperate, encouragement for the miserable. I would say the same thing to you as I said at that dining table this week. Friend, if you're here, if you're watching online, if you need to have your spirit lifted, then get into the Word of God. God's Word. If you ever find yourself with a problem, if you ever find yourself in the need of direction, always know there is a message for you in the Word of God. Let me prove it to you. Did you realize if you need forgiveness, the Bible says, "I am He who blots out your transgressions"? If you're holding a grudge, the Bible says, "Forgive each other just as the Lord forgave you." If you have a poor thought life, the Bible says, if anything is excellent or worthy or praiseworthy, think about those things. If you're weak, the Bible says, "My power is made perfect in weakness." If you're trying to choose friends, the Bible says, "Bad company corrupts good morals." If you're losing your identity, the Bible says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made you." And if you're needing patience, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord and wait patiently on Him." Friend, there is literally no end to a list like that. Whatever your need is, whatever problem you're facing, the Bible speaks specifically to it. It's not some ancient, dusty, disconnected archive of a book. No, it's living and active, and God still speaks through it today. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 says, "The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the Word of God stands forever." How does the Holy Spirit encourage you? He encourages you through His Word. He encourages you through a personal friend. He encourages you through His Word. Let me add another one, and I love this one. And you need to grab hold of this one. The Holy Spirit encourages us through our spiritual position. Now let me explain. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. We have been in an extensive study in the book of Philippians on Wednesday night. I encourage you to come and be with us. This sanctuary is large. We can spatially and socially distance all you want. But I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul says right here. It is powerful for you. In the New American Standard Translation of the Bible, Philippians 2:1, remember our spiritual position. He says, "Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete," Paul writes, "by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose." But listen how he starts it. If there's any encouragement, where? In Christ. Say that with me. In Christ. Say it again. In Christ. Friend, that's your spiritual position. That phrase is used 150 times approximately in the New Testament. And it refers to our union with Christ. We are in Him. And that says we've been crucified with Christ. We've been raised up with Christ. We've been allowed to assume heavenly aspirations in Christ. Folks, we have to take advantage of our position. We have to take advantage of our relationship. In Christ, we have forgiveness. In Christ, we have power. In Christ, we have confidence. I mean, listen to God's Word again. Philippians 4:13. You know this one. "I can do all things." How? Where? In Christ. 1 John 4:17. In Christ, it says, we have confidence in the day of judgment. Friend, if you know Christ as your Savior, you are in Christ. Now, I love contemporary Christian music. And there's some people that think it doesn't have any worth or value. And I say hogwash, nonsense to that. All music of all generations has value. We've sung some classic stuff here today. I told Steve after the first service, I was like this kid back in the youth group singing some of those songs. I could see that. But now I want to take you to a little more current song, not quite as current anymore. But there's a contemporary Christian artist who captured this understanding of in Christ. The name of the group is Big Daddy Weave. How many of you know Big Daddy Weave? All right, if you don't, you should. And if you think that name just sounds silly and you should just cast them off, I want you to listen to this song. Listen to these lyrics if you don't think there's value in some modern music. Big Daddy Weave wrote these lyrics. "Well, I may not be the greatest man to walk this earth, but I know who is. And I may not amount to what you think as much, but I already do to him. While people keep searching for answers, looking for light in the dark, I'm standing with the answer because he's living in my heart." And then listen, here they go. "In Christ," they write, "I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward. In Christ, I have his righteousness. In Christ, I have what I confess. In Christ, I don't worry about all the rest because everything I need is in Christ." Friend, that's a good song. And that's a testimony of true encouragement. This morning, I'm asking you, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you take hold of your position. You are in Christ. Somebody say amen. If you can't get encouraged by that, then you just can't be encouraged. You see, God's Holy Spirit, He encourages us with personal friends in His Word, in our spiritual position. Let me add a fourth one. I love this one too. He encourages us through divine intervention. Now take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter 16. I told you it'd be a bit of a Bible drill. Nothing wrong with that. You better be bringing your Bibles to worship, by the way. This is a church that stands on God's Word. This is a pulpit that will always preach God's Word. Acts chapter 16. You know this story. Let's pick it up midstream and then we'll talk about it. Remember, He encourages us through divine intervention. Acts 16 verse 22. "The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose." Church, it's one of the classic stories of our New Testament. You know the story. This happens in Philippi. We've been talking about it also on Wednesday night. These people were some of the first members of that Philippian church. But Paul and Silas were in prison, right? After casting demons out of this slave girl, they were stripped and beaten. They were placed in the stocks, as you read. And now you'd think that those two needed encouragement, but it doesn't seem to be the case. No, in the middle of the night, they're singing praise songs to God. And then the Lord divinely intercedes, right? He intervenes, and suddenly a great earthquake comes, and the foundations of the prison are shaken. You see, God definitely intervened. It's kind of ironic, isn't it, that an earthquake came as something positive from God, but that's exactly what God is doing. And God's always done that. God always comes in unexpected ways to rescue and encourage His people, and it's not the only time He's done it. We can count off numerous times in Scripture. In the wilderness, God gave the people manna. Out of the desert rock, He brought forth fresh water. For the hungry, 5,000 plus, He gave them something to eat. For the blind, He gave them sight. For the people trapped at the Red Sea, He parted the water. Folks, God has always divinely intervened to encourage the hearts of His people. Think about when the disciples were in the boat, scared to death of the storm. They asked Jesus, "Don't you even care?" And what was His answer? His answer was yes, because God's answer has always been yes. He He's always cared. The Spirit of God intervenes in our lives miraculously to give us the courage that we need. You see, that brings us to the end of our short sermon journey. We've talked about the when, we've talked about the who, and now we've talked about the how. We've been reminded that we need encouragement all the time, beginning, end, and every step of the race, right? We've learned that the Holy Spirit is the source of encouragement, and we've learned today how He does it. Through personal friends, through God's Word, through our spiritual position, and through divine intervention. And here's how I want to end. I want to tell you simply, be encouraged. In this crazy, unprecedented season of life, be encouraged. And whatever's going on in your family, be encouraged. And whatever's taking place in employment and jobs, be encouraged. In some of the discouragement we feel in the church, wondering, is the church ever going to be back to what it was before? Be encouraged. God is still on His throne. And God's Spirit is still alive and well on planet Earth, and He's moving in your life and mine in ways we might not even see. But today, I pray that you'd pick out these four areas and say, you know what? God's Spirit is working in me. And I do have a position, and I do have friends, and I do have God's Word, and I trust that God can act miraculously. Be encouraged. And then more than anything else, would you choose today to be an encouragement to somebody else who needs it? Bow your heads with me and let's pray.